Well, Joy, no doubt about it, we shall miss you. The three of us have been together for nearly 5 years, and come on, you promised no tears. There, don't cry.
I'm not crying. Got something in my eye. Carry on, Jimmy.
Well, Joy, I'm not very good at speech-making, as you no doubt read in the papers. But what I feel deep down, Joy, is... look, would you like to take over, Bentley?
Well, I'd rather not take him over, Jimmy. The flat's going to be pretty crowded anyway.
I know what Jimmy wants to say, and I feel it even more deeply because, well, Joy, you and I have been particularly close. Remember, I looked after you back in Australia. In fact, your grandmother told me I was like an elder brother.
Dick, he meant her elder brother. Are we really in our fifth year together, Jimmy? Gosh, I was scared when I first met you. You looked so stern and forbidding.
Forbidding? Me? Nature's answer to Gilbert Harding? Oh, come now. I may have my testy moments, but I am not wholly stern.
You want to see yourself from where I'm standing.
Well, you were a bit of a shocker too, Dick, in those days.
Oh, it was just precociousness. Yes, I said it. A big word. But an artist of my sensibilities and creature of mood. I go through many phases.
Well, you've practically gone through the one you've got on now.
Anyway, I soon found that you and Jimmy and I, we went sort of naturally together. You know, like ham and eggs.
Well, that's one way of putting it. Would you mind putting it another way?
Well, now the moment of temporary parting draws nigh, Joy. I thought some sort of gift was called for.
Oh, it seems silly to spend money like that.
Oh, you don't have to spend much. Hankies will do me.
I will do you if you don't belt up. We have bought gifts for you, Joy. Everybody in the program contributed.
Oh, Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. I always think with that sort of a collection, people feel they have to give. It's a sort of moral blackmail.
Oh, no blackmail about it, Joy. The keynotes contributed generously and of their own free will. It is true that as I passed them the hat, I was humming, "The stargazers are on the air." The orchestra stumped up to a man.
It was a novelty, Joy. It's the first time these musicians have ever dropped a penny in a member of the public hat.
And Mr. Maxwell, our beloved producer, shook us all by dropping in some paper money. I put that on one side for you, Joy. I don't know if you play Monopoly, but it's really...
I didn't expect this. All this money, it's really too much.
Well, that's what we thought, so we put a little aside for repairs to hat.
Anyway, this is what we bought you, Joy.
Oh, Jimmy, that's sweet. A little jacket. Where did you get it?
Off a book. I let you have the book itself as soon as I finish it.
Yeah, he's just got a few more pictures to color. Now, come on, Bentley. Now your gift.
Oh, yes, Joy. I would like you to accept this charming bouquet of daffodils. I chose them myself.
Oh, why, Dick, they're lovely. Just look at them, Jimmy. Aren't they glorious? Just like the ones I've got in my front garden. What are you laughing at, Jimmy?
The ones you had in your front garden. Come on, quickly, keynotes.
Okay. Here is the bank, sweetheart, goes down on the heels, up on the toes. That's the way to do the varsity bank, bank, varsity bank. Heart of a heart, new than you, mean than me, blue than blue. Get this much of glory, way to the flag. You can pass many a class, whether you're dumb or wise.
If you all answer the call when your professor cries,
everybody down on the heels, up on the toes, stay after school, learn how it goes. Everybody to the varsity, hurry up and do the varsity. Everybody to the varsity, drag. Hurry up and learn to do the varsity, drag.
What's your oh, what a week are that. I've been belting round like a reformed meter reader. Jim, the search for Rudolph has taken on empties.
Taken on empties? Impetus, Wall.
Oh.
You must get these words right, you know. Impetus implies things being pushed forward, while empties implies things being knocked back.
Oh. I stand connected. Anyway, there's now been a special commission on Rudolph set up by HM Government. Here, Jim, why do they always call it HM Government?
Well, it's because whenever people talk about their elected representatives, they always say, Government? Oh, dear, not only a vulgar program, but scurrilous to boot.
Will this commission succeed in putting Rudolph behind bars?
He's already behind them, Miss N. He's behind the notorious kneecap chuck ice bars.
Kneecap chuck ice bars? I don't think I've...
Oh, yes, you have. You know when you have a chuck ice in a cinema, no matter how careful you hold it, manipulate the paper how you will, lay as many hankies as you like on your lap, when you get outside in the light, there's always an horrible congealed brown blob on the near trousers.
Well, I don't know, it never happens with me. I'm a large vanilla tub.
No comment.
Not me.
Rudolph, you know, he's also the creator of the Rudolph perfume, Ashes of Aunt Frightener.
Ashes of Aunt Frightener?
Yeah, that's it. It has a faint but unmistakable odour. He's liable to spray it anywhere. That's why whenever you go out with an old aunt, some place, some time, she's sure to grip your arm and say, I can smell burning. Well, there never is anything burning. It's the perfume.
Oh, there you are, yeah.
All right, but watch out, England. We're being got at.
And once again, it's Tice newsletter, and here is David Dunhill reading it.
Well, sir, Oscar, it's very much...
Dunhill! This is the microphone here. You're reading into Robert Busby's ear. Heaven's sake, boy, who's still pining over this girl, Daphne?
You'll never understand, sir. I'll never forget Daphne if I live to be 100. How could you know true love? You don't mind my saying so, sir. You're too fat and red-faced and bald and peculiar-looking.
That's enough, Dunhill! You realize your chances of living to be 100 are waning rapidly. Continue, Dunhill.
Well, I can't get her out of my system, sir. Wherever I go, I see her face. Waking and sleeping, I see her face. In all my dreams, I see her face.
Doesn't the rest of her ever show up?
Don't laugh at me, sir. Laughter, I couldn't stand.
Well, we could stand a bit. Better get on with your announcement, David. It'll take your mind off things.
Oh, you're such a solace, Miss Nichols. You're like a comfortable old pair of carpet slippers.
Flatterer. Read on.
Well, sir, opera is much in the news nowadays. And accordingly, it was suggested that we of this program should present a bit of opera this week. Unfortunately, operatic music is held under very strict copyright. So the only way we can bring you an operatic excerpt is to do it without the music.
So we now present, with the music left out, the famous prison scene, including the duet and trio from the opera Cozy Fanny Tuck.
Now,
Weep not, my Clotilda, though in prison cell I languish. Your sweet face through the bars does much to help relieve my anguish.
Your anguish?
My anguish.
Does help relieve your anguish?
Through the bars your face.
It helps?
Relieve.
It helps relieve, I'm glad.
Your face.
Shala, shala, la, 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 la.
Your face, hey, 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 hey.
La, la. But one brief moment can I stay lest I be caught.
Your stays are short.
Who has here consigned you thus?
Your stays are short.
A princess with his retinue of guards.
I come.
My lord, 'tis he with retinue of guards.
'Tis he?
'Tis I.
'Tis who?
'Tis he, 'tis him.
How short your stays?
My stays are short.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Ho 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 ho.
Ho 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 ho.
Na 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 na.
Ho ho ho. Ho. You, my daughter, with wretch. The very breath of outraged parenthood within me pants. Me pants. Me pants. Me parenthood, me pants. This Mahahan shall da-ha-hai before tomorrow more. Ho, 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 ho,
oh, what a beautiful morning.
Oh, father, a pardon, I beg you to grant him, as down on my knees now, for mercy, I beg.
Oh, father, a grant,
I beg you to mercy.
As down on my pardon for knees, do I beg. Down on my knees, down on my knees.
Sweet knees.
Down on my knees.
Lovely knees.
Down on my knees.
Japanese.
Down on my knees.
Dodecanese.
Down on my knees. Down on my, 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 down on my.
Bender. Too late, my love, too late for tears, for I have quaffed the poisoned wine. The wine I quaffed it poisoned was. And now I die. Farewell.
Ha, 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 ha.
Hello. I go.
Come back, Tule.
Then die.
I do.
He does.
He dies.
Let me.
You gone?
Not yet.
Then go.
I go. I die. Farewell. I go. Goodbye. Farewell. I die. Au revoir. Goodbye. I die. I die.
I'll drop dead.
That I could be the glass in your mirror so you'd look at me. If not the glass, then I would seek to mingle with your powder so I'd kiss your cheek. Speak a word of love, my dear. Speak so only I. And when it rains, I wouldn't care if I could be a raindrop, for then I'd nestle in your hair and pray the rain would never stop. I wish that I could be a star in the heavens so you'd wish on me. Then I could make your dreams come true if you should wish for me to fall in love with you. Speak a word of love, my dear. Speak. So only I can hear. Speak a word of love, my dear. Speak so only I can hear.
So, to films which Hollywood dare not make. This week, let us consider the type of film which makes a feature of emotional sacrifice, tender sentiment, mother love, child love, and love.
This sort of film is known to the public as a woman's picture and to the trade as a drip drama. Though these films occasionally vary a little in plot, they all have one thing in common, Miss Joan Crawford.
One thing Hollywood has never dared to do is to make a Joan Crawford picture without Joan Crawford. Only Type Productions dare take this startling step.
So, handkerchiefs out, chaps, as we present Miss Joy Nichols in No Better Than She Should Be, or The Girl.
I ain't ashamed of what I done. I'm glad, do you hear me? Glad, glad. But I give you my full name, Gladys. I was tired of living in that tiny two-bit apartment. What mother likes to have her baby sleep in the bend of a roll of towel? My baby. My little Montgomery. I had to take him everywhere with me. I rode on buses with him. I scrubbed floors with him. I couldn't afford a scrubbing brush. All I lived for were those moments when he put his little face up to kiss me goodnight.
Gee, Mom, I was naughty at school today. Teacher made me write out 100 times, I must not pour boiling lead over Veronica pooping locker.
Oh, Montgomery, why do you do these things? That's your father coming out.
I thought he wasn't due to come out for another 3 years. Mom, I also got kept behind by Miss Treadgold because I wrote on the blackboard, Montgomery next, better than any guy in the class.
Kept behind by Miss Treadgold? What happened?
I ain't telling, but Zowie, a sure place to advertise.
Oh, Monk, I don't want you to grow up like this. I gotta get you out of this environment. I'm gonna bring you up a little gentleman.
But the janitor said you're not allowed to bring up a gentleman after 10 o'clock.
Never you mind, Monk. I'll think of something. You climb in the roller towel and go to sleep.
Okay, Ma. But don't forget I'm in here. Last night when you dried your hand, you spun me around 6 times. Oh, well. Good night, Ma.
As I gazed at his sleeping face, I thought, someday, little fella, I'll buy you silk sheets to sleep in. I'll buy you a pillow with a monogram. Maybe I'll even buy you a bed. Then suddenly, there was a rap on the door. I took the rap and put it on. When I opened the door, there was my neighbor, Mr. Clancy.
Ah, Mrs. Pierce, I was passing to the third floor back. But I thought I'd be after dropping in, begorrer. Indeed to goodness, oh, hi, blimey. Well, one of them must be right. So, there then. I see the little fella is asleep, is he? Let me brush those curly, golden curls from that noble brow. Where's me hammer?
Why, Mr. Clancy, come in.
Why, very kind of you, thank you. I will come in, shorty goodness, I will. I thought you should be told. This morning, I caught your little lad with a copy of that book, What Every Young Girl Should Know.
Oh, but Mr. Clancy, I don't think he understands it.
Understands it? He was sending 17 pages of suggestions to the author. You must remonstrate with him, Mrs. Pierce. He's growing up wild.
Well, what can I do? He and I've been alone ever since they sent his father up the river on a 5-year stretch. That ain't right giving a guy 5 years just for crossing a street against a red light.
You're after forgetting he was carrying a safe at the time. But don't you worry about little Montgomery, don't you? I've been keeping an eye on him, and I have that. He's got a fine brain for a 6-year-old.
But he's 14. Mr. Clancy, I gotta get out of this dump. I don't want Montgomery to grow up wild. I don't want him to grow up brutal. But what can I do?
Why not shoot him now?
No. I gotta get money. I gotta. I just gotta. Oh, Mr. Clancy, won't you help me? Won't you give me a job? Won't you?
Well, now, Mrs. Pierce, I don't know. I admit you're a fine, handsome woman with a face on you that could start a 6-ton lorry on a frosty morning. But my hamburger joint is quite a select place. We serve only intelligentsia.
I can cook that. I'm good on Italian food. Oh, please. Please, Mr. Clancy. I'll do anything. I'll work my head to the bone. give me a job.
Begar, I'll do it, so I will. I'm a kindly man, Mrs. Pierce, I am that. Although these trousers be shabby and worn, they cover a generous heart. Mrs. Pierce, you start work tomorrow, Begara.
So Ma went to work in Clancy's Hamburger Grill, the little place on the corner with the motto, "Eat at Clancy's. 50 million flies can't be wrong." The first day she got there, the place was overflowing. The sink had been blocked up.
Well, I was just here on out in here. This is my restaurant. Now, try the food for yourself. But I warn you, don't have the rice pudding. You see, there was a wedding next door this morning.
But this joint is terrible, Clancy. What time does your rush hour start?
The rush hour? Well, now, you see that gentleman drinking a glass of milk alone over there in the corner? Well, now, when he puts his glass down and walks out, Begara, the rush hour's over.
Clancy, I'm going to change all that. I'll give the joint some class. The first thing we do is serve a proper 3-course meal, but the right way round. From now on, we'll serve the soup before the fish.
Well, Mrs. Pierce, confidentially, I don't think the fish can wait that long.
Well, the next thing we do is get that pile of rubbish off the floor.
Pile of rubbish? Mrs. Pierce, those are my waiters. They've got to have their rest period. You mustn't be too ruthless.
Well, that's just what I'm going to be. I don't care who I hurt, so long as I make money for my boys. You tell those waiters from now on they come on duty clean, scrub, and never wearing anything but white tie and tail.
If you say so, Mrs. Pierce, but they won't like it.
Why not?
Sure, and they'll be chilly without their trousers.
At the end of that week, I waited for Ma to come home. I was sitting at the table with my plasticine. When she come in, I was just eating the last lump. My Ma, she kissed me, and as she spoke, her voice was white with excitement.
Look, honey, the first week's money, 83 cents. Oh, Montgomery, now you can go to Yale.
Gee, the same one that my dad's in.
Not Yale, Yale!
Oh.
The university, where they teach you tradition and subtraction.
Gee, me at Yale, all dressed up in Eton collar and a motorboat on my head. Oh, maybe even wearing one of them little short jackets they call a refrigerator.
A refrigerator?
Well, some kind of a freezer. More? I tell you, I know I got a lot to learn. But one day, when you see me receiving my degree as a bachelor from art, then you'll say proudly, "That's my girl."
Montgomery, you're a boy!
I am? More, I sure have got a lot to learn.
So Montgomery went off to college, and Gladys Pierce put all her fierce drive, her reckless aspirations, and her ruthless ambition into my hamburgers. Though I still say they'd have tasted better if she put some meat in them. But we made money. In 5 years, we had a nationwide chain of hamburger parlors. When Montgomery came back from university, Gladys was jubilant.
Well, Clancy, Montgomery, we made our first million. And Montgomery, you've learned to talk like a gentleman.
That's jolly, jolly true, mater.
And you know what I'm going to do next? I'm going to enlarge this New York mansion.
Enlarge it, but mater, the north wing already extends into Canada. Have you seen it, Clancy?
Seen it? But Dad, I tells you, when I stayed here, I couldn't go to the bathroom without my passport. Oh, Gladys, when's this money grubbing going to end?
Yes, mater, don't you see how you've changed? You don't love me anymore. All you love is Pa.
But your Pa was sent to the chair 2 years ago.
Pa, you Irish clod. Pa, P-O-W-E-R. Ah, yes. All you love now. Mater, all you love is your chain of restaurants, not me. Where your heart was, now beats the hamburger.
You don't know what you're saying, Montgomery. I only done all this for you, so you should have everything from the best. Aren't you grateful for what I give you? Me pajamas. Solid gold tennis rackets. And I just bought you a new yacht.
And what was the matter with the old one?
It got wet.
I don't want these things, Mother. I want you as you were. You're growing brittle and cold and hard, like a streak of cloth that nobody wants. I'm going to leave you, Mother. I'll ring for the butler. He can drive me to the front door.
Oh, no, no. Wilson. Tell him he's wrong. He's wrong. He's wrong.
I know. I heard him ringing. Gladys, my darling, the lad's right. Better the smile of a loving son than the biggest crock of gold. That's an old Irish proverb I just made up.
So you turn against me as well, Clancy.
I was after being happier before, whatever that means. I came here to ask you on my bended knee to marry me to Gladys Pierce, but now I'm leaving too.
What have I done? My world has fallen round my ears like a bad home perm. Oh, come back to Pulavius. I see I was wrong. Clancy, I have been living a black lie.
Oh, not as bad as a black lie, my darling. Let's just say a mauve one. It's not too late for you to change, Gladys. Let us start again right from the beginning.
And so to films which Hollywood dare not make.
Not as far back as that, Dunhill.
You're right. We can try a different arrangement. Let us endeavor to build anew.
But, Mater, you've never seen anew.
We can try. I'll go away for a while. I need a rest. Yeah, that's it. I'll leave you for a few weeks.
But who's going to be after looking after us?
Yes, who's going to look after us, too, while you're away?
Excuse me, but I think I am. My name is Roger.
Well, hello, Sally. Sally.
Well, Dick and Jimmy, you're in good hands. So long for a while, fellas, and take it from here, Sally.
Robert Busby and the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Sally Rogers, Wallace Eaton, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynote. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. Next week, it will be Sally, Dick, and Jimmy inviting you to tune in and take it from you.
We invite you to be listening again next week on the same time and from this station for another program in the series Take It From Here.